IGTV.
Okay, Martin Zender here, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, you're at MZTV. I'm going to tackle a difficult topic. It's a tricky topic unless you read the scriptures as they are supposed to be read. That is literal, if possible, allowing for figures of speech. Or another way to put that, if the plain sense of scripture makes common sense, seek no other sense. I want to repeat that. If the plain sense of scripture makes common sense, seek no other sense. In other words, we can't try to get fancy with the word of God and force things to make more sense to us, no matter how fantastic something might seem or sound. We have to believe it if God says it. And this really applies to the prophecies concerning Babylon in the unveiling, chapter 17 and 18. And I'm going to go there. Let's see if I can get it all done today. If I can't, I'll continue this tomorrow. But folks, I don't think there is any other place you're going to go where the commentator is going to use a quote from Macbeth. That's right, Shakespeare's play, Macbeth, to explain to you scriptural prophecy and the tricky way it can be fulfilled. Now, strangely enough, there is no scripture verse that says the city of Babylon will be rebuilt. Now, I have talked about this topic before, but I have new information, I have new examples, and I'm bringing you Macbeth for the first time. I mean, this is really super cool. And as always, my method is to not be tricky, not be cute, not try to finagle a scripture passage. I always take the aerial view. I take the obvious reading. I have a childlike mind, and I believe in a childlike way. I try to have no guile in these types of things because this is very important. The book of Revelation, as you know, is not the easiest book of scripture to understand. And so one really has to approach it with the mind of a child and guilelessly. And I'm going to attempt to do that. Not that I'll be able to, you know, do it completely. Nobody's perfect here, but I'm going to bring to you what I think is the most honest, therefore possibly the best commentary you're going to get on the topic of Babylon available today. So let's, without further ado, go to the unveiling chapter, start with chapter 17. I will say this, you know, I tried to make Babylon in my youth. I tried to make Babylon some other place because it seemed so unlikely that there would be this big city built. It would be like too obvious. Like all Christians are looking for Babylon to be rebuilt. But again, there's no scripture verse that says Babylon will be rebuilt. This doesn't mean that the city of Babylon will not exist. It just will, it's not necessary for it to be rebuilt because scripture doesn't say it will be rebuilt. The key word is rebuilt. The rebuilding of Babylon. How many times, it almost sounds like a poem. The rebuilding of Babylon shall come forth. The rebuilding of Babylon. It's just so elegantly worded. The rebuilding, everybody's heard that phrase, the rebuilding of Babylon. It really is a poetic phrase. The problem with it is it does not appear in scripture. And we scratch our heads and we say, like, everything else is lining up, is it not, ladies and gentlemen? Everything is lining up as far as these being the final years, the final months of Millennium 6. And we're all like, where's Babylon? Where is Babylon? I myself struggled with this years ago, and I think it was probably 10 years ago. I thought Babylon could be, you know, for 35 years I've been trained to take scripture literally and to follow this rule, literal if possible, or if the plain sense of scripture makes common sense, seek no other sense. I've lived by that. I have to live by that. If I depart from that, then I'm in shaky territory. And what are you doing here? You're here for me not to do that. You're here because you have someone here who resists doing that, who resists changing something God said because it doesn't suit my understanding or a personal interpretation or maybe even a wish that I want it to say. So, but for years, like, no, I said 10, 50, it's probably longer, probably 20 years ago, I thought Babylon could be Babylon, New York. Yeah, Babylon, New York is an actual city about 20 miles from Queens, 30 miles from Manhattan. It's on Long Island, and there's even a sign. Let me show you a screenshot I took, you know, welcome to Babylon. And I thought, since it's so close to New York City, and since the description of Babylon in chapter 18 of the unveiling has it seems to talk about this magnificent city, that's what I thought back in the day.
A worthy guess, but incorrect.
The city of Babylon will be or is at the site of the ancient Babylon, which, a little quick thumbnail history here, was the only place that could rightly be said to be the capital of the world, Babylon. Yeah, this is where Nimrod built the Tower of Babel. It's present-day Baghdad is located at the location. And there's a city there now called Hillel. This is the site on the banks of the Tigris and the Euphrates River. Yeah, it's very close to where the Garden of Eden was. This is Mesopotamia, baby. We're going way back. This is the cradle of civilization. Nimrod tried to build a tower there, and God ruined his plans. Babylon means confusion. I can see already. I'm not going to get all this done in one show. Babylon means confusion. I can't help this. Babylon means confusion, and the languages were confused to keep humanity from becoming one. But humanity is going to become one again, and it will be the beast system. So Babylon was the capital of the world under Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian Empire. That kingdom was succeeded by the Medo-Persian Empire, capital Babylon. We're talking about Nebuchadnezzar's image now, the metallic image of Daniel chapter 2, different parts, different metals. If you want me to do a show on that, that's a fascinating topic. I can do one. I've done it before, but always have new insights here as time goes by. The Medo-Persian Empire was succeeded by the Grecian Empire under Alexander the Great. Headquarters, Babylon. The only city on earth that has ever been the capital of the world. There have only been three legitimate world kingdoms. Don't bring the Roman Empire up, because Christians are so deceived because they think that the Roman Empire was the fourth kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar's image that he saw in his dream that Daniel interpreted. He even told Daniel, "Tell me the dream, son." And Daniel told him the dream, then interpreted. Ooh, none of his necromancers or fancy boys could do that. Daniel was a big man after that. But no. The fourth world kingdom was not the Roman Empire, because the Roman Empire was never a world kingdom. Far from it. Look up Roman Empire map, and you can see that it fell embarrassingly short of being a world kingdom. The fourth world kingdom is yet future. And if scriptural precedent means anything, and it does, the capital will be Babylon. Not because it has to be, according to Scripture, but because the very few people who will be running the world. Here's the thing. I might as well just give you this before I go into the nuts and bolts of the Scripture. Even now, there's a cabal of people who control the world. This is not a conspiracy theory, it's just the facts, and it'll become more and more consolidated. And in the very end of the end, it will want to consolidate and protect its assets. there's going to have to be some kind of supercomputer. I mean, we still need hardware. If there's going to be a sophisticated system to track everyone, which will be the font, the fountainhead of the mark of the beast. And if everyone's going to be interconnected on some system, yeah, I know, wireless and all that, satellites and all that, still, there has to be some sort of supercomputer, even if it's the size of a bread box, and it has to be protected. And whatever assets this cabal of people who are running the world have, they must be protected. Like, I mean, big time protected, like the gold at Fort Knox. And by the way, there is still gold at Fort Knox. Fort Knox, Kentucky. Yeah, half the world's gold is in Fort Knox. It's still there. Look it up for yourself. Look up Fort Knox. And it is way, 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 way underground. Giving you a big clue here as to what I believe Babylon is. Now, I will preface my more detailed remarks by saying that I can, in all honesty, tell you that I am 100% right on what I am about to tell you. I don't know for sure because Scripture doesn't say. I am 100% right on what Scripture says. But when I interpret these things, I'm a fallible human being, and I'm interpreting, you see. And an interpretation is not Scripture. Therefore, my interpretation is subject to fallibility. Don't be disappointed. Don't be disappointed. I'm still the world's most outspoken Bible scholar, but my track record of accuracy is pretty good. Pretty good. I predicted 25 years ago this whole right-wing takeover, the religification of politics or the politicization of religion, however you want to look at it, and that it would be the religious right, that is, the conservative movement that would become the host, the carrier of the virus of the beast system, that it would be Christianized because it has to be a religion, because I camped solidly on the concordant version of Daniel chapter 7, that the four beasts were religions and that they went from east to west based on Mr. Knox's translation. And that is the foundation for all of this. So my track record's pretty good. But by that, I don't mean to say that I am infallible. Not. So I believe that those who are going to be running the world, they have to protect their assets. Whatever assets they have. And where will they protect their assets? Because of their arrogance. And because it's just so satisfying and elegant to be at the same location where Nebuchadnezzar ran the world, where Alexander the Great ran the world, where Cyrus ran the world, simply because of the arrogance of these people. The stronghold of whatever physical necessity is required to maintain the beast system will be at the banks of the Tigris and the Euphrates River. Mind you, it could be anywhere. I mean, theoretically, it can be anywhere. Because I believe, and here it is, I'll give you the details later. I guess I got to lay it out now in case I can't get everything on in the show, which I'm not going to. No way am I going to. Thought I could. Pipe dream. I believe that Babylon will be, or perhaps is, an underground city. An underground city. And you might say, Martin, there's no such thing as a city being underground. No. I looked up underground cities, and I found a handy-dandy little YouTube video called 15 Secret Underground Cities and Facilities. And I'm going to link that video below. It's called 15 Secret Underground Cities and Facilities. The description under the video says, join us for today's video as we explore the 15 amazing underground cities and facilities. These subterranean havens range from ancient dwellings carved into cliffs to modern marvels of engineering. We will learn there is an entire world built beneath our feet. And there's one verse in Revelation chapter 18. In fact, there is one word in one verse that I overlooked for years, and I believe everyone has overlooked it. And you're gonna find out that word probably tomorrow. I'm sorry, but I'm looking at my time already. And again, nothing in the scripture says that this is the deception. We just have this in our mind all the time. The rebuilding of Babylon. Where did that come from? I don't know. Technically, if Babylon is an underground city, it might not even be called Babylon. It doesn't need, I don't think, to be called Babylon, although everyone involved will know that that's what it is and where it is. And they're doesn't have to be many people aware of this. That's another thing I want you to understand. Yes, I'm going to get into the phrase secret Babylon also. And look, I am sympathetic. I really am to those who want to make this city some other city. I really am. I don't condemn anyone for saying, I don't even condemn myself for thinking maybe it's Babylon, New York. There's a phrase in Revelation 17, we're going to be getting to it. It's a secret Babylon, secret Babylon. And so because it says secret Babylon, because the phrase is secret Babylon, some would be tempted to say, well, it's not Babylon then because it's secret Babylon. Again, I'm sympathetic to this, but let me ask you this. If I tell you I have a secret marijuana plant, I don't because I don't smoke marijuana. But if I told you I had a secret marijuana plant and you said, well, what is it about this marijuana plant that's secret? I might say, well, it's location, the way I grew it, how I feed it. It's a secret marijuana plant. I want to see this secret marijuana plant. So I take you to see my secret marijuana plant. And it ends up being a daffodil. You would be highly disappointed. I thought I was going to see a secret marijuana plant. Oh, but it's really a daffodil. That's the secret, you see. No, see, that doesn't work. It doesn't work that the word secret in front of anything means that that thing is no longer the thing. And I'm speaking specifically of verse 5 of the unveiling chapter 17. And on her forehead is written a name, Secret Babylon the Great. Now, there is an aspect. I'm giving a complete overview here. Okay, I'm not going to get into the details today. There is an aspect of Babylon that refers to a spiritually corrupt system. Yes, there is a metaphoric application here. And that is found in the unveiling chapter 17. But it is also a city. And that is found in Revelation chapter 18. Undeniably a city. And even the end of chapter 17 says specifically who this woman is. This woman clothed with purple and scarlet and gilded with gold and precious stones and pearls. See, this is the thing John saw. But the things John saw, and he saw some wild things. For instance, he saw a woman sitting on a scarlet wild beast replete with names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. He saw that. And that's literal in the sense that that's what John saw. But then these things are interpreted to him. Because in verse 7 of Unveiling 17, the messenger, that is the angel, said to me, "Wherefore do you marvel?" What a question. Why are you marveling? Okay, why are you marveling? "I shall be declaring to you." Wow, we have the answer right in the context. "I shall be declaring to you the secret of the woman and of the wild beast which is bearing her and which has the seven heads and the ten horns." And then the messenger proceeds to explain everything. And our big mistake after that is to explain God's explanations. That is what we must always refuse to do. To explain God's explanations. Yes, these things John sees are tremendous, are wild, are phantasmagorical. But they're explained to him. And once they're explained, that's the end of it. That's it. Once God has explained it, once God has taken the metaphor, just like Jesus explained the parables to the disciples, once he explains the parables, and this happens in chapter 2 of the unveiling, where John sees seven candlesticks, and the Holy Spirit says to him, "These seven candlesticks are seven ecclesias." End of story. First, he sees seven stars. "I see seven stars." The messenger says, I'm paraphrasing the messenger, "Would you like an explanation of the seven stars?" "Yeah, I sure would." "Seven stars are seven messengers." Okay, got it. That's it. I wonder, nobody needs to ask, I wonder what the seven messengers are. But people do that all the time, especially in the book of Revelation. The seven stars are seven messengers. That is angelic beings. I wonder what they are. I wonder what they represent. They don't represent anything. They are what God says they are. This is why I say that scripture is literal, allowing for figures of speech. And we definitely don't want to explain God's explanation. So as I was saying before, we have so many assumptions concerning the city of Babylon. And one of the assumptions is that there has to be a lot of people in on this. There doesn't. And that these merchants who are looking afar off, there's thousands of these. Who says? Where does it say there are thousands of merchants? And when we read of these strange items being bartered, being traded, well, this has to be ancient. This has to be figurative. We hear things about things called citron wood and ivory. And the book of the unveiling is mocked because of these things. Well, it sounds ancient. But if I can show you one example where any of these items has value today, one example, then scripture is true, isn't it? Then scripture is true. If I can show you one example of citron wood being a valuable commodity, and when you see what it's used for, you'll be shocked. But you'll be pleasantly, you will say, "Oh my God, never thought of it." No, you never thought of it, never thought of it. And when you look at the specific wording, especially that one word I was telling you about in chapter 18, which is the strongest word, suggesting to me that Babylon will be a fortified underground city, a bunker, if you will, that might even exist as we speak. It might not, but it might. I want you to watch this video of the underground cities. It's pretty amazing. It was an ancient thing, and it's also a modern thing. And where is everything the safest? Underground. The most valuable things in the world are kept underground. The most important people in the world have bunkers. Adolf Hitler had a bunker. The president of the United States has a bunker. Saddam Hussein had bunkers. Too bad he didn't get to his bunker at the end there. He ended up getting pulled out of a hole in the ground. Not a real sophisticated bunker they pulled Saddam Hussein out of. They called it a spider hole. Don't you have any better bunkers than that? He must have lost the keys or something. But every important person. So I cannot imagine. At this point, the more I consider this, the more sure I am about it. So this has been an introduction video. So tomorrow we're going to start in Revelation, also known as the Unveiling of Jesus Christ. That's the proper name of the book because that's the first sentence of the book, the Unveiling of Jesus Christ. We're going to start in verse 17, in chapter 17, which talks about the spiritual aspects of this, the dirty whore who has prostituted God and brought people. This does go back to ancient times, but it also applies to modern times. Chapter 17, speaking of the false religion, and chapter 18, can't see as anything but a city. And if it's called Babylon, then by God, that's what it is.